getting, I thought he was still getting his thing. I'm sorry, dude.
That's all right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That, well, sorry. Hey, welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show. Episode 184. I'm Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Yeehaw.
And Fozzie.
Greetings.
And Jeff.
Whee!
And special guest, Walter Lopez.
Hello.
Of the CBS, is it CBS Interactive? Is that what it is?
Yep.
Yep, there we go. Well, you haven't been on the show in a while. What have you been up to?
I've been doing this thing called, like, work.
Oh, that's awesome.
Where,
work sucks.
Well, since I think last time I was on, I was still in Florida when I got on.
Yeah, yeah.
But you had just gotten the job, right?
Yeah. I had just gone public with it. Now I've moved to San Francisco. I found an apartment. I'm paying a ridiculous amount of rent for it because that's what the city's known for. Started the job and like I'm settling in and stuff. And yeah, man, it's felt like it's been forever. It's only been like, what, 6 months? So.
Got all your stuff though. All your games are back and.
Yeah, everything's here. I'm still, call me crazy, but I kept my old consoles in my apartment and in my office and stuff. You know. Because mm-hmm. I'm still having more fun with the old stuff than the new stuff.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
Jeff, you don't
have old stuff.
You don't have new stuff yet, Jeff.
I'm just saying. Well, there's a reason.
Right. I mean, it's not really necessary to make the jump now. No. Though I do find myself, I will play a game on Xbox One because it's on Xbox One over a better game I know that's on one of my older consoles.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
Well, it's kind of easier for me because I moved and stuff, so like I have a backlog of games I missed out on.
Right.
So I'm still catching up on stuff. Like I just recently got to play DMC, Devil May Cry.
What'd you think of that?
I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. Like once you get past like the new Dante, who comes out like a douchebag at the beginning, I think towards the end he does stuff that you're like, I dig it, I get it, you know. And it feels like they built it around like the Devil May Cry 3 formula and stuff, where you beat it the first time out, even on normal and stuff, it's a little too easy. But once you actually go through like Devil Mode and Spartan Mode and all that stuff, like the guys who are like fans of the series, of like super punishing kind of like gameplay and twitch kind of reflexes and stuff, it's like it's right up there, man. It's a really good game, you know.
Yeah, I think Fozzie and I both liked it quite a bit. So.
Yes. Wait, what? What game?
DMC.
Oh yeah.
Fozzie's eating a pizza, that's why he's barely paying attention.
No. Don't talk to me while I'm eating.
Keep that.
No. Yeah, DMC was good though. I liked that. I thought I got a lot more hate than it deserved, but whatever.
I heard great things about it.
Are you kidding me? When it first launched, I mean, it's the instant reaction from the community, from, you know.
Oh yeah, not even that, just like pre-launch too. I'm going to be honest, like I was part of that through the click. Cool kids, if you will. Because,
yeah.
I mean, it's Dante, and it's not even like a younger version, it's just him just reimagined. And then I started to realize, Dante, he wasn't even that great of a fucking. I mean, yeah, he was like cool, but I think 4 games with him in them was enough, Dante, for me, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, again, I think it came out well, and I think it was just probably underrated. That reason though.
Yeah, it was definitely like the cool thing to hate on it when it came out, you know?
Yeah.
You get a chance to play anything else, Walt?
Let's see. Batman Arkham Origins. I got through that. I got 100% on that, which a lot of people are surprised because a lot of people thought it was like a really bad game. But.
I think it was really bad. I was just a little bit disappointed in it.
I think this is the game that they initially wanted Arkham City to be, you know?
Right.
And now they finally realized the vision and stuff. And it's glitchy and it came short in a few things, but I think the combat system is probably the best it's been in the series and stuff, you know?
Sure.
But But I totally get where people are coming from. Too much of the same thing, but you know, certain fans are like, this is why I want it anyway.
Right. And that's fine.
So it's like, and they were like, they didn't hide the fact that they're like, yeah, it's more of the Batman Arkham formula you guys like until, you know, parentheses, hush, hush, until, cause we're working on next gen shit. You know? Right. Which they're obviously not gonna admit cause they're gonna kill their own fucking sales, but that's, you know, it's pretty obvious that that's what was going on, right?
All right, because I mean, this wasn't Rocksteady who developed it, so it was.
Yeah.
We'll just hand off all that old code while we're working on the new code.
Right.
Yeah.
Do with it as you will.
Bring us something new.
Tony, that game's pretty cheap on Amazon right now too. I was looking at it the other day.
So got my hand for 40 a lot.
Yeah, it's like 39. Plus, I have a $20. Credit for like PSN downloadable titles.
Wow.
So I'm like, I can get that for $20. I might have to do that.
$20, I think it's definitely worth it.
Yeah. That's well worth $20.
Yeah, right now if you trade in, you do a trade in on Amazon games for $20 or more, you get the trade in money plus a $20 PSN credit.
Nice.
Yeah. I think what you should do, Tony, is get the Unfinished Swan.
Just randomly.
Well, if you got PSN money, yeah.
It's not actual PSN money. It's like $20 to a downloadable code from Amazon. So, I was a little upset when I found that out after I had done the trade in. But I'll work it out.
So you have to use like their Amazon PSN store and
buy a
game, and then you get $20 off of that. So basically, you have to buy a game that's worth more than $20 to be of any value.
Now that I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you could fit like a $15 game, but I was looking at those games and they're not worth having. So,
fair enough. What have you been playing?
I played Battle 4 Field.
Battle 4 Field.
Battle 4 Field. With you.
Yeah, we did. We did. Played for about an hour and a half. It worked.
And it worked.
Yeah.
It's like a miracle. We got it. I got it on the first try. You had to restart, I believe.
Yeah, I was having some problems with the game just wouldn't boot. Like it would load up that rainy screen and then it would crash to the desktop or whatever you want to call that, the dashboard. But yeah, I restarted and was able to get right in. But I couldn't talk to you at first.
Right, I didn't know what was going on there.
So
because I could talk to other people on my team.
Yeah, so what I had done is I had. While I was trying to get it to work, I had invited you to a party, and I had enabled party chat.
Uh-huh.
But then it said, like, hey, like, the game's working, so I was able to get into the game, and I joined you from the menu in Battlefield, and I'm, like, talking, but nobody can hear me.
Because you're in party chat.
So I was in party chat, and it blocked it out. So, like, finally I was like, what the hell was going on? So... Then when the match ended, I figured it out, but then we weren't on the same team.
Right.
And then finally in our third match, we did get on the same team and I was able to talk to you. Which nobody else on our team was talking at that point, so.
Right.
That game is pretty good when it works.
It is. It's more Battlefield, and I liked Battlefield before, so I still like it.
Very vertical this time.
Yes. Those maps, they're huge in every direction. Some of them are really like 30 stories high.
Yeah, I was being like, I'm down trying to like get a conquest point, and I'm capturing the flag down there, and I'm getting shot, and I can't find where the dude is shooting me from, and then when it shows you after he finally kills you, he was on the top of a skyscraper with a recon kit taking me out. It was crazy.
Yeah, there are so many places to hide and to go, and it just these maps are the ones I played have all been like field days for snipers.
Yeah,
because there are just so many places to be, and it's so hard to figure out where they are.
Which kind of sucks for me because I play mostly like an assault class, so like I have to get in on people. and there's a lot of people that just kind of camp around, like, and with that many. You know, you're playing 32 people aside.
Right, because we're playing on Xbox One.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are just sitting on top of rooftops or across the field or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know how you can play that game run and gun. Like, I can understand maybe not sniper, maybe mid-range weapon, but yeah, that's crazy.
I haven't been killed by someone with a shotgun yet. I can tell you that.
There's that, I guess.
I'm still a little bit of shocked that you had issues with the game. I haven't heard of Battlefield having any kind of issues yet.
Yeah, I thought the launch went perfectly and no one had any problems.
Yeah. If the launch was like January 15th.
Right.
Jesus Christ. It hasn't been a good year for EA, that's for damn sure.
Yeah. I'm hoping that, not that I care one way or the other about companies doing well, but just games working that I want to play. I'm hoping that works itself out for Titanfall
right.
in about a month and a half. So,
well, yeah. Thankfully, Respawn is independent.
Yes.
So, and the game itself will be on Microsoft's dedicated servers and not on EA's network.
Right. So,
that's where my confidence lies. If those two things weren't true, I probably wouldn't pre-order it.
Hmm. So everything I've heard from the people who are playing the damn game without like getting them in trouble or anything is it's already pretty fucking solid for being an alpha build. You know? So
right.
they're further along. I mean, and it's Respawn, they know how to do their shit, so you know.
I think they were helped by the fact that they didn't have to be there at launch. I think EA shot themselves in the foot with that guarantee that Battlefield 4 would be ready.
Yeah, maybe they were like forced into the launch window, you know, by one of the different consoles was saying like, dude, you guys got to do it, you know?
Right.
I don't think it benefited either one of them, so. I mean, it didn't benefit Sony, didn't benefit Microsoft, certainly didn't benefit EA, so.
Well, actually, it's been kind of odd, right? Because the new consoles launched, and everyone was in that initial hurry to get the games, right? I mean, to get the consoles. But when you look at the games who are like the staple for like multiplayer and all that stuff, even Call of Duty's having a hard time keeping players. You know,
right? Not a good year for either.
No, it's not. Because in the Call of Duty game, it's a solid game, but on the next gen stuff, like the number of players are active on a regular basis is
it's
well below their standard. And even on like the current on the 360 PS3, it's very below the standard as well. You know?
Yeah. I have Ghosts on a Xbox One, and when I go into like a match there. It's consistently like 40,000, 45,000, but when I played previous ones, like you were talking like 150,
yeah,
at a pop, like that were active, like a crazy amount. Which, I mean, it's still certainly playable in every mode. It's just that with not as many people, you're gonna run up against people that are way better than you, more often.
Yeah,
the obsessed.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're the ones that kind of stick around.
Well, you're probably playing against, like, the hardcore fans at this point.
Exactly,
because, you know, kind of, like,
they bought a new system.
Right out.
Yeah.
Well, it's better than the Wii U. I think they did, like, a
yeah.
quick look at it after a week it was out. Like, literally,
yep.
maybe 200 people run, like, at any given
yeah.
yeah.
So bad.
Yeah, I played Black Ops 2 for review last year on Wii U, and... the player count never went above like 900 the entire
wow.
week that I was playing it, like 900 across all game modes. So like that's really really bad.
That's insane to me. That just reminds me of like the original Xbox when they launched their live service and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people were slowly crawling into the idea. You see like 900 active, 1,000 active a night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But not like nothing like this, dude. It's
and back then people had like they saw like the 56K modem,
right?
Have
yeah.
access to it.
Yeah,
the Wii U, you have access to it, everything like that, and it just shows that like just like this, it's just not there. Like and that's why you see like right there, it's a proving stat why you know third party developers, why would you even go there?
Yeah, man. Support.
Tony, you play anything else?
Lots of NBA, but Not really.
Fozzie, what's up?
Oh, you guys got me when I got a pizza.
Yeah. How's that pizza?
Oh, delicious. So yes.
What's on it, Fozzie? I think we need the update.
Pepperoni sausage. Did you hear me?
Pepperoni sausage. Yeah, it's a classic.
Yeah, it's Tombstone. So, yeah, I've been playing a lot of NBA. Not gonna lie.
That game is awesome. I have trouble playing other things.
Problem with that game though now is like I'm in my career, I'm a starter. Every game is seriously, I'm playing like all 40 minutes. I have it 10 minute quarters. So, it's like, it's seriously 30, 35 minutes every game, and there's 82 games in a season.
Right. It takes a while.
Like back when I was just like off the bench, yeah, a game would take.
But you come in for 3 minutes, you're gone, and then you don't come in the next quarter. Yeah.
Yeah, but now I'm almost in it the whole time. So it's become quite a problem because, again, I'm not seeing much of seeing like maybe like 200, 300 points a game. And, you know, it's kind of a lot to like upgrade your character at this point. So, I'm getting nervous that I'm kind of going like die out. Like, I mean, there's fucking like, I mean, you can play a full 20, 30 season, probably like 20 seasons in this game. But, I mean, you're talking about 40 hours a season, you know?
Right.
That's crazy. So that means that you probably have to put over 800 hours.
Yeah, that's not happening. That's
wow,
just not happening.
Man.
I mean, it's a fun game, but I mean,
it's not that fun.
The problem is that like there's no. Is there a simulate? Like, can you like simulate to like a certain date?
No.
In my career, see, that's crazy to me. Like the fact that I can't just like go to the playoffs right now. I'm about 20, 25 games away. The way I'm looking at it is like I'm still 10 fucking hours until I get to the playoffs. Why the hell would I want to play this for like after the season? Like it just.
But it's so much fun to play. That's,
yeah, I mean it's always that great game where you can just kind of unwind, and you just don't really care, and it's just like I'm just going to shoot around, fucking throw up 40 points and have myself. Right. You know,
I just dropped 54 points on Jose Calderon. He didn't see it coming. Nice. Suck it.
Yes. Exactly. Suck everything. So I mean that's kind of my only issue with it. Have you spent any like real currency on?
Oh God, no. But I do have the companion app. Do you have that?
No.
It basically adds an additional like 1,000 or so coins per day.
Okay, maybe I need to get that.
So basically, every day you hop into the app. And you pick out an envelope, and that will give you, like, a random amount of coins. And all of mine have ranged from, like, 850 all the way up to 1,500.
Okay. I might have to do that. Yeah.
In addition to that, you get to do pick 'em for that night's NBA games. And every one you pick correctly, you get another 50 coins.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So, yeah, you're talking a lot of coins.
Okay, I'm going to do that because, like, I mean, it's not bad. Like, it's not, like, anything crazy. You can get 80,000 coins, which you can, like, upgrade your guy to 99. You can get every single, like, signature skill you'll probably want ever. And, like, you could get your guy, like, really good for 20 bucks. So, I mean, it's nothing insane. And you can even get, like, 5,000 coins, which would still, you know, pump up a good amount of stats. That only costs $2. So, I mean... It's not terrible if you use some real currency there, but yeah, for me it's just like I feel like it's going a lot more slow now that I'm not kind of like going through every game every five because I don't want to switch it to like 2 minute quarters, or then I'm only going to have like 10 points when it's all said and done. And it's not great. Yeah, like the score will be like 30-20. You know.
What team are you on?
I'm on the Thunder right now.
Oh,
and Westbrook. Yeah, Westbrook is, he's taking a lot of my points, but Durant, like, I've taken, like, all his points right now, so.
I'm on the Pistons. Yeah. My team is terrible. I'm on the Pistons and Drummond and, the other big man, Monroe. They're both hurt now. Mm. So I'm, like,
you're
my team's like only option on offense. So
like a point guard, right?
I'm a point guard, yeah. So I get the ball on every play, and my team expects me to shoot it too. Like I pass the ball to other people, and they immediately throw it right back. So I'm putting up like 50 points a game now.
That's amazing. That doesn't happen in the NBA at all unless you're LeBron James.
Right?
That's Tony. He's LeBron. He's the next LeBron.
I am that good. Actually, I was so mad. My Josh Smith was injured for the game, my last game against the Heat. So I actually had to guard LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't work out very well, being a point guard. My team still won, but LeBron put up like 35 points and, you know, bruised my ego.
Oh, yeah, it was like probably tank for them.
Right, I'm like 6'3" and he's posting me up.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in real life, he's getting ready to go on a tear because he's seeing what KD is doing on a nightly basis.
Right. Well, he's averaging like 39 points through the month of January.
It's insane. You can almost tell he's like, no, I'm very happy for him, but you can almost read between the lines like, I'm gonna go on a fucking tear too, shit. You know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, no denying his talent. No, he's a good move. But anyways.
Any other games, Fozzie?
Not really. A little bit more Crusader Kings too. Now I'm at a point where my other king, he died. So I just got this new king. Everyone fucking hates him. I've like had to kill off so many people, and I have like 3 wars going on. My whole like dynasty, like whole kingdom is like gone to shit now. That game is just way too, it's crazy. You have to like set everything up. So like, there's so much more than just like world domination.
You have to plan for the succession. If you don't plan
exactly.
For the succession,
you have to make sure that everyone is like happy and everyone has all this land and
they don't even have to be happy. You just have to make sure that you have enough money in the treasury that you can hire the mercenaries you'll need to like kick the crap out of your vassals.
That's true. Yeah, exactly.
That's my point.
Happens. Like I just got into a costly war with Hungary. I have like only 100 bucks or 100 gold coins. So it's not really enough, even though I am bringing a good amount monthly. But yeah. So I might have to give up on that game, because seriously, it's way too much, and again, it's taking up way too much of my time, too. Playing 2 games that have, like, no end to them, so I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with my life. This is terrible. I'm getting, no satisfaction from getting close to being a game. I think I need to go back to Assassin's Creed 4. But at the same time, like, these games are a lot of fun. It's just, like, both of them are, like, total fucking, just time consumers, so.
So while you've been playing games that have no end in sight, I've just been using January as wrap-up month, and I finished 3 games since we last recorded. So,
wow.
They were games that I had already put time into, but I finally wrapped up Forza Horizon after having that sit for like a year. I went back, finished up the races of that. That game is so good. I hope that there's a next-gen version of that coming.
Yeah.
That's right up there with, like, Burnout Paradise for me.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's just, like, great combination of open world, and then the races are more structured than what they were in Burnout. I mean, maybe not as crazy, like, you don't have the crazy jumps, but just well put together. The racing engine is so good. It's the Forza engine, so the cars look great. The damage model is good in the game, and it's just so much fun. I went through, finished up, won the Forza Horizon Festival, wrapped that piece up, and then I wrapped up Ratchet and Clank Into the Nexus. Also good. I don't know, probably worth $30 if you're a Ratchet fan. What I think it's going for. It's only 5 worlds, 4 of which are actual worlds, 1 is an arena world. So it's about half the length of a normal Ratchet game, but like it's general Ratchet quality, really well done. Great tools, great weapons to use. It's just a fun game. Like Insomniac really hit it again, and you just look at like what they did last year with Fuse, and then you kind of shake your head like, what are they doing? Like they released like such a generic title, and then like Ratchet's old, like it's an old school brand, but just so much more inventive and fun and original. Even though it's like the ninth game in the series, like they just come up with great ideas. And then I finished Diablo 3. I finally beat Diablo. I cheated to do that, though.
That last boss is a bitch.
By cheat, I mean I was underpowered. I got to Diablo at level 30.
That's what you're supposed to be.
Everybody else that like I've seen has been like 35, 36 or so.
I was like 30. I think it was 30 or 31.
Yeah. What class were you playing?
The chick.
The demon hunter?
No.
The chick. Said the chick.
Well, there's a male female version of each, aren't there?
Yes.
Oh, there is. I want to say it was God, what was the really cool one? Fozzie, what's the best class in the game?
I like the wizard a lot.
Wizard.
You're the wizard. All right. I don't know. I just like.
So you're a squishy. Wizard is squishy.
I kept dying on Diablo. Like I went up against them like four or five times. And
dude, it's really tough. It's really tough.
So, you talking about the console?
No, on PC.
Dude, it's like super easy on a PC. What are you talking about?
I just kept dying over and over again. So I finally just went multiplayer
on it. When you get to that part. Where it like it sends you into like a dark world or shadow world,
yeah.
And there's like a shadow version of yourself chasing you. Oh my god, that shit is hard, man. You gotta get to jump on those fuckers, man.
Yeah, that's where I was dying when I originally played it, and you know, four or five times in, I was like, I got other games to play. I moved on to something else. And with the expansion coming out, I was like, I should really finish this. So I went in, started grinding some levels. Got a little bored with that. And
do you guys play a lot of dungeon crawlers by any chance?
I love them.
I mean, I you know,
my favorite genres:
Torchlight, Torchlight 2, like all that stuff.
Because Fozzie would probably back me up here. Diablo is all about your setup. It's not really what level it is, but how you set up the items and slots and everything and jewels on your character.
Yeah, I might have just had like a fucked up setup, like going in and just was underpowered.
Yeah,
I seem to remember when I was trying to fucking beat Diablo. Like, I was like looking up. I finally looked up and like, this is like the setup you want to do. So like, I switched it around and tried that out. I think that might have been what worked, is like having the right setup.
Yeah, like I mean, I kind of breezed through the entire game, and then I got to the final boss, and I was like, the fuck, like just hit a wall, and I was like, I'm done.
Wait, so you tried to solo him?
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
So I finally like the way I actually finished it was I joined up with some people and ran the final final run to it, so that area in the Celestial Realm, and went in with three other dudes, and he was done in like 3 minutes.
Yeah,
like he just dropped. When you play multiplayer, like there's no challenge on like the lower settings, but I was having trouble by myself. They helped me beat them, and that game is in the books.
Yeah, but you beat them on normal, right?
Well, yeah. I started Nightmare, and all of a sudden, like, I'm leveling again.
Yeah.
It's like it'd be just killing, that's like, what normal
I love
enemies.
About,
yeah,
that's what I love about Diablo is, like, I remember, because I beat Diablo on Hell, and then you go to Inferno. Even the fucking, like, the most basic guys, man, they hit you hard.
Yeah.
But again, like, that game, I think I understand why people like it. Like, I think if I played that on softcore, it would be definitely infinite times better than Diablo 2. But, like, that game is just not built for hardcore. It's not, and the main reason is because of the 10-second, like, cooldown.
Yeah, that's... Like...
It's terrible for hardcore. If you want to do it softcore, that's fine, but... Like, the fact that I can't leave a boss battle, because that's the scariest thing, is like, okay. Because in hardcore, it's all about kind of like testing the waters, you know?
Right.
Dip your foot in, shit got too crazy, you alt F4, and like, alright, I need to fucking, like, just regroup and realize I need to level up more.
Right.
But, and, like, again, like, in Diablo 3, like, what is that? Fucking not, maybe it's the Act 2 boss or Act 3 boss? The guy where, like, you're stuck in, like, just that one little, like, area where he's just, like, sitting his fat ass down.
Oh,
and,
yeah. I think it might be Act 2. It's, in the maybe. The sand area.
The butcher?
Yeah. And, he has, like, this, like, poison explosion where if you get hit by that, you're really fucked, like, especially...
Oh, yeah, I hate that guy. Fuck that
guy.
Yeah,
so, I mean, again, like, I get terrified every time, and, I mean, it's cool, it adds that suspense, but it's like, okay, if I don't kill him, what am I going to do? Like, I can't leave the game. I'm essentially just... I kill my character off.
Right.
If I can't exit in time because I can't... There's not 10 seconds is more than enough time for him to get a few shots on me. And then if I don't kill him, then like I'm kind of stuck there forever because again, if I'm just underpowered, there's nothing I can do, you know?
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's why I always like, that's my biggest gripe with Diablo 3. Take that off.
I know that on the PC that like the loot that dropped was underpowered for your character because they wanted you to go in and use the auction house. Jeff didn't really experience that because they introduced the new loot system on the console version, so he actually had legit loot dropping.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way
now, it should be.
Yeah.
The auction house, is that available on the console version at all?
Thank God.
No, it's actually going to disappear as soon as the expansion launches. It's gone on the PC. And the loot system that's in the console is going to be implemented into the
PC. Like, I think there's three things they really fucked up on was the auction house, the fact that you can't do your own town portal. I love that part. And then the 10 second. Even if they didn't have the 10 seconds, and I can still use the town portal, like kind of get out of there in case the boss battle is way too fucking hard.
Right.
Be cool with it. But the fact that there's just no way to stop that boss battle once you've gone in there. It's so fucked.
Yeah, it's a shame they decided to experiment so much with microtransactions with this big title. You know?
Yeah.
Just really. I mean, you guys know how much Diablo 2 is still my favorite game of all time, and I don't think there's a game that even comes close to how many hours. I mean, thousands and thousands of hours I put into that game. So
I'm looking at the shortcut for Diablo 2 on my laptop right now. I still have it, you know.
Yeah.
I still install it. It's like a permanent fixture on my computers.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I just kind of want to get back into it, just like kind of just experience it all over again. Because, you know, once you get there's a certain point where you just have all this fucking armor, and like I literally remember like going through every level. I had like the certain amount of armor, the best armor to have for those certain levels. And my guy would just be so, like, cookie cutter at that point where it kind of did take the fun out of it. But that's the best part about coming back to that game every couple of years. You just start a new guy, find those items again, and you kind of just experience it all over again. Such a great experience.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Reaper of Souls, so...
I haven't really paid attention to it, but, I mean, again, maybe I'll play softcore, you know? Maybe I should just, you know, say fuck it.
It's definitely training you up. It sounds like they want you to stay long term because the people who have been in a beta and stuff, like they do a normal run and at the end of it they have like four or five legendary items that dropped throughout their adventure.
Right.
And so that just preps you so you have a slightly easier time when you go into the next difficulty mode and so on and so on. And just the way that you can customize like your armor sets now in the new expansion just kind of just sounds more like It sounds like it's paying off more the investment you put into it.
Right.
You know?
When does that come out?
End of March.
End of March, yeah.
Sure.
Even the original game, honestly, when it launches and a new loot system comes in, I guarantee people are going to play through the original all over again with their characters to get the new legendary drop so they can jump into the expansion.
Right.
You know?
Well, just me, my Diablo 2 HD, I'll be happy.
Jeff, what have you been playing?
I don't know, a little bit here and there. I have been replaying, like, mostly old stuff. Like, the two games I'm, like, really playing right now are Tomb Raider.
Uh-huh.
Game of the Year.
Yeah, boy.
Like, the more I play that, the more that, like, dude, that was a legit choice. That game is so fucking good. It's, like, so perfect in every way. And I've been playing the last couple days Need for Speed Most Wanted on Wii U.
Uh-huh.
Because, I don't know, it was $20. I know I played it before on Xbox, and I kind of liked it. I didn't hate it as much as you and Don did, Chris.
Don liked Most Wanted.
Really? I seem to remember you guys both being like, no, fuck that game.
No.
I remember you for sure. It was like, no, yeah, Paradise, way better.
Yeah, I preferred Paradise over Most Wanted by a large amount. Though Don really liked Most Wanted. Like, that was... He was really into that. He really likes the real cars and the stuff that they put in. So,
I think it's a solid game. Like, the only thing I don't really like about it is it feels a little like they didn't do everything they could have with it. Like, it's just like you find a car and there's like five races with that car. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's it.
And that's it for every car. Like, there's five races. And it's like, there's like two easy races, two medium races, a hard race for each car.
Yeah. But other than that, like, it's good. I like the world. Like, I don't know. I kind of prefer Hot Pursuit more, but.
Yeah, I like Hot Pursuit, over Most Wanted, so.
But, like, you know, supposedly, like, the Wii U version was, like, the best version, at least from what I remember reading. I don't really notice much of a difference. There's, like, some gamepad shit, but, yeah, it's really cool. Like, it's nice to have, like, a good racing game on the Wii U. Other than that, I went to an arcade, like, a real arcade, like, a legit arcade.
Yeah, you posted some photos on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah, like, so I went to this place.
How legit was this arcade? Was there, like an older guy that looked like he didn't belong, sitting in the corner staring at girls?
That was Jeff.
Oh, okay. It's legit. Totally legit.
This is like, there was nobody in there. Like, we walked in, like, it was like, we walked in at, like, on a Sunday night, they closed at 8, we walked in at, like, 7:15, and he, like, had all the shit shut off. And, like, we walked in, and he's like, he ran around, turned everything on. we're like, you close at 8, right? And he's like, yeah, but you stay as long as you want. Like, you know, just, you know, have fun. But, yeah, this place is called Star Worlds, if you guys want to look it up. It's, been around since the 80s, and it's not like one of these new arcades that, like, are buffet style, where it's like you pay a couple dollars and there's, like, every single game in existence. This is a real fucking arcade, dude. It's been there forever. And, you know, you buy a certain amount of tokens and you go and play. It's tiny as shit, man. Like, it's three little rooms, like, and it's, like, smaller than most people's basements, probably. But he's got a lot of, like, really good shit packed in there. I'm trying to remember what I played. I played Pinbot, like, actual version of Pinbot. I played Black Knight, another pinball table.
You said there was a Pac-Man, like, combo deal?
Yeah, alright, yeah, there's a, I think it's called Baby Pac-Man. And it's basically, like, you're, alright, like, there, it's like a pinball table, and then, you know how, like, the pinball table has, like the, I don't know, the screen up top?
Yeah.
Well, up top, there's a Pac-Man screen, like, and you're playing Pac-Man most of the time. Except they put exit, like, you know how, like, Pac-Man has the exits on the left and the right mm-hmm. that you could go, they call them escapes, I think. They put escapes on the bottom, and if you go through the escapes on the bottom, all of a sudden you start playing pinball, like, fucking actual pinball. I'm like, what the fuck is this? It was awesome. Like, I had never, ever seen that damn thing before.
That sounds great. I gotta look that up.
It's great, dude. It's Pac-Man and pinball together. Forever. At last. Or, I don't know when the fuck it came out, but. What else? I played Burger Time for the first time. I never played that before. I like that game. That was cool. They fucking Arkanoid, which I'm a big fan of. Donkey Kong. Like, considering how small the space is, it's, like, surprising how many things he had, you know? And I guess they have, like, rotating selection of games. Like, so if you go in like a week or a month from now, it might not all be the same cabinets.
Okay.
So I'm excited. I'm excited about this place because like there's no, like in Chicago there's like this place called Galloping Ghost that had like everything. It's like a big giant place, but it's kind of different from like this is just like an arcade that's been around. Like it somehow has survived from the 80s. You know, I don't know how he does it, but he's done it.
And now you have me looking up baby Pac-Man arcade machines on eBay.
Probably expensive as shit.
$600 for this one.
That's not bad. I remember looking up with Walter one night. We were looking at classic like pinball tables and then.
Yeah, dude. Fucking Jeff was trying to get me to fucking buy a shit ton, lease him and shit.
Really?
And that's before.
You were talking yourself into it.
Yeah, that's luckily I came to my senses in the morning and shit because I was like, what the fuck was I gonna do with that when I moved? You know what I mean?
Right.
Give it to me.
Once I move out of this house and get like a room that can actually be like a game room, I might look into something like that. There's some pinball machines I'd like. And some arcade cabinets. That shit gets expensive.
We have the Twilight Zone.
That sounds expensive.
We have the Twilight Zone pinball machine at work. That's like...
Oh! Yeah, that's a classic one.
I've kind of told them to see if they can find it and bring it in, but they're waiting on a lease on this other arcade machine to go away before we order it.
Mm.
But that kind of reminds me, there was one other pinball table I played in there, and oh my god, it was a great pinball table. It was fucking Batman Forever pinball table. You play that one, and like all these ramps and rails, and all lit neon green and shit, like.
Yeah, man.
Like sometimes you'd shoot your ball into a spot, and like it would disappear and pop out of another spot. Like, oh man, it was a really good table.
Did it have a like voiceover from the movie, like Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones and stuff? Val Kilmer.
I think it had some voiceover. I don't know if it was those guys.
Yeah,
it had voice.
Like digitized versions of them or something. It'd be great.
Kiss from the Rose start playing out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like a random shitty Batman movie, but it has a fucking great, like, that pinball table was awesome, dude. I could see why they have it in there. Cause, like, everything they have in there is, like, some sort of classic game, you know? It's not just, like, here's a random piece of shit arcade game no one remembers, you know? It's all, like, he's a curator, the guy that runs this place, you know? He knows what he's doing.
Sounds cool.
But yeah, I don't know. That's about what I've been up to, I think. Oh, I tried out Brothers, like, but only a little bit of it so far.
You gotta play it. It's not long either. You could play that in, like, one good sitting. I think it took me about, like, 3 hours or so.
It's a little funky starting off. It's, like, weird.
It is weird, because it takes a little while to get used to the controls, because each character is controlled independently.
Yeah. Like, each character is controlled by one of the sticks.
Yeah.
That's a little weird, yeah.
So, like, it takes a little while for your brain to kind of get its, you know, grasp on it.
Yeah, and there's very minimal input besides that. It's like, you control each character with one of the sticks, and then there's an interact button for each of them.
Right.
It's like, okay. And the thing that, like, I mean, I don't know, I'm, like, 10 minutes into it, but the thing that struck me as kind of weird is, like, there's obviously a story to it, except it's all either in gibberish or Japanese. I can't tell which.
Nah, it's gibberish.
But, like, I'm like, so, like, imagine playing Zelda and they're speaking in gibberish, except there's no subtitles.
Right. Like, as you play more of it, you kind of get the idea of what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I have an idea. It's like, I think their mom is dead and then, like, their dad is sick. That's what, like...
Yes, and then they have to go on a quest to... get medicine like for the dad, yeah.
Okay, that's what I figured. Yeah. See, you don't even need words.
So get to, yeah, it's a very simple fairy tale.
It should give you a better appreciation of what the Peanut Gang has to deal with in trying to get their education in school. They're like, hey, this is 2 + 2, one, one, one. They're like, son of a bitch. You know? So.
That's exactly it. All right. Let's do it. Let's talk some Nintendo.
Ah. Who was that?
Who? Me.
Tony, why don't you kick it off, because Walter kind of asked to come on the show based on a Twitter conversation.
So we can talk about this. Yeah. So basically it starts off with Nintendo, I believe the middle of last week, revised their sales projections for their current fiscal year. Among other things, they are guaranteeing a second year with a net operating loss, given that it was before the first year, something like 20 years before they had ever suffered a loss, and cutting their sales projections for the Wii U console by 69%.
Ouch.
From 9 million to 2.8 million worldwide.
And they went from a projected profit of like what 500 million to minus 250 million. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's it.
It's like almost a $750 million swing financially.
Their holiday numbers were not good. They actually did not increase sales holiday over holiday. And for the second holiday in a console cycle's life, that was extremely unusual. It actually only put them in a category with two other consoles, the original Xbox and the Dreamcast, which is not a category you really want to be in.
Dreamcast.
And the other console that barely got out of that category because the holiday sales in the second year were just a smidgen above the year before, was the GameCube, which a lot of people look back on as one of Nintendo's less successful consoles.
Yeah, one of their more awesome consoles.
Well, sure. From a financial standpoint.
No one's
saying that the games that were on the GameCube weren't good. It's just that, financially, the system wasn't.
It didn't do as well as the console before it or the console after it.
Well, sure.
So, dicey territory. Iwata said some very interesting things about potentially revising Nintendo's business structure. A comment which was mistaken by a lot of folks to say that Nintendo would potentially pull out of the console market. It doesn't sound like they intend that at all, but
yeah.
It's obvious that change is coming. So.
Yeah, to me it sounds like I applaud them for being realistic with the numbers and seeing the reality of the situation. Because if you continue under these misguided guys that everything's fine, these are the numbers we're gonna hit, don't worry about it, the consumer's gonna turn on us, and you're basically trusting a message that's not working. And that's what's been happening with them, right? Since they launched, they went with this message that just does not work. No one knew this console was brand new. No one knew that, the Wii Pad was part of a new console. Everyone thought it was in addition to the Wii.
Well,
right?
And they've actually positioned, if you watch some of their ads,
They
say it's an upgrade to the Wii. when you say upgrade, it doesn't mean new.
Yeah.
But that was them trying to correct course with those ads.
Right, and they made it worse.
they're trying to spell it out, it's misguided.
The message is wrong. It's biting them in the ass. The core audience that they desperately needed to carry this thing, abandoning them after because a lot of them thought the Wii was a fucking gimmick, and they bought into it, and then they played it for a while. There's some titles that gave them a little bit of enjoyment, but then when you compare it to the field, man, it's lacking so many damn features that Nintendo's afraid to implement, right? There are absolute standards and add to the proposition value of a freaking console. They just refuse to go in that direction because they're like, no, we want to focus on this. We want to focus on the Oprah fucking audience. I call the Oprah audience the casual consumer. The guys who are easily influenced by trends, right? The ones who bought the Snuggies. You know what I mean?
Hey. You got a problem with fucking Snuggies, sir?
Right.
Ozzy loves Snuggies, but
I don't have a problem with the Snuggies, sir. But I'm just saying, the Snuggie 2 comes out, it's not going to sell as well as the Snuggie.
Let me tell you about Snuggies, sir. You ever play games with a blanket? It doesn't work.
I get Walter's point though, Fozzie, because like we both already have our Snuggies. Right. We don't need the Snuggie 2.
Right.
Maybe you do though.
Snuggie 2 with a cup holder. Everyone's gonna be like, what? Why couldn't I just buy the add-on as a cup holder to my original Snuggie?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Like maybe like a Cheeto holder.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm all for
it. Yeah. It's like it has to.
Go ahead.
Uh huh.
I was just going to say, it's like Nintendo missed all the warning signs with the Wii, where they were always talking about how the Wii had such a massive install base, but when the games come out, they're only selling to a really, really small portion of that base.
Yeah, and I think when they first, I think what inspired them to reanalyze their numbers is when Mario came out, and it kind of fell flat.
It sold, what, 200,000 copies in the first month?
Yeah, and that's unheard of for a Mario title, man.
And it's one, you know? it's not just the Mario title, it's one of the best titles of the year, right?
Yeah.
It really was. It's a damn shame. It's a great game. And it fell flat, you know? And, even like Pikmin, people were fucking Pikmin, we need another Pikmin. It came out and it fell flat as well too, right? And, when I say flat, I still think it's a successful title, but it didn't sell what they were projecting it to sell. You know what I mean?
Because if they sell some of the goddamn systems first.
Well, that's the thing. So like, if you look at the attach rate, it's actually good. Like it's a great percentage that they're converting to that game. But when you look at the amount of systems that are on the market, it's like that's not a lot.
Right.
Exactly.
Like, 200,000 with 5 million Wii U's on the market. I mean, that's a 5% attach rate. That's decent.
Right.
But it's not they're weren't going down the line of a profitable business like plan. You know, you can't just cruise around until another Zelda comes out or another Mario comes out. Cause look, there's proof, man. It's like their freaking core group of fans didn't fucking go buy Wii U's by the horde to play another Mario game. You know what I mean? So that tells you immediately, like, something happened here. There's a disconnect here. Our competition is just wiping the floor of us. You know, so I applaud them to being realistic when I think that's what inspired them to look at the numbers and to project things so that their investors have like a good idea of like, here's where we really stand. Obviously a lot of people jumped ship as soon as that was announced, but you know, that's just the nature of investing in any tech company, right?
You gotta figure though, what is Nintendo's short-term strategy? Cause there's really not a short-term out here.
Well, my short-term strategy would be get Mario Kart out as soon as possible and bundle it and make it a little cheaper.
If Mario isn't moving systems, what's Mario Kart gonna do?
Mario Kart is, it's a bigger title.
Yeah.
Like it sells considerably better than Mario.
Well, they have a chance to kinda like, the projections are so low now that they have a chance to actually oversell if they get their shit together and get their messaging right and sell Mario Kart the right way and sell Smash Brothers the right way.
Yeah, like those two, like, and we've talked about this before, like those two are huge sellers. Like they're not big to me, but for whatever reason, those things sell systems.
Those are the ones that make people want to dust off the dust out of their consoles and turn it on again because they want to get their friends over and play it, you know. But the other side of that, right? The other approach to that is like, what if these two don't sell well?
Yeah,
what if they sell less than Mario?
That's what I was going to ask. Like, or even if they sell on the par of Mario, like if they don't turn this around, then what? Like you're spent. Zelda doesn't sell as well as Mario. So these are your two big hitters.
Yeah, if the way I see it, if those two sell on par with Mario and the consoles are still selling like molasses, they're just fucking sitting there, then they have this really, 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 really like awful position where like the Walmarts, the Targets, the GameStops start really thinking, do we really need space for this? Can we clear it? Can we get rid of this inventory any way we can in order to make room for shit that's actually selling? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, that's very possible, but at the same time, I mean, at least from what I remember, like, when I was working at GameStop was when Wii was current, and Super Mario Galaxy, like, yeah, it was an amazing game, but it didn't sell that great. Mario Kart was a fucking perennial bestseller. Like, people would fucking come in for that all the goddamn time. I say that Mario Kart and Smash Brothers will definitely outsell the new Mario, and it will move some systems. But it's enough. I don't know.
I know what you're saying. Like, I get what you're saying, and like a lot of people are expecting that to be a turnaround, especially this year. But dude, everything they've done to this point doesn't give you confidence that the audience is there.
And here's the thing. Like, what if Mario Kart, Smash Brothers sell double what, you know, 3D World did? Like, 400,000 units still isn't enough. Like,
yeah.
It's like, that's considerably better than what Mario did, but it's still not what they need to be doing. Like,
it's a terrifying thing when, like, your first party isn't selling, dude. I can't imagine being that a comfortable environment to work at where, like, your first party shit's not taking off. At Nintendo, I mean, that's fucking unheard of. Anything Nintendo makes sells in the millions.
Well, when it comes to Mario, though, that's why I think they've started to shy away from the 3D Marios, because the 2D ones sell better.
Yeah,
I don't know if you can seriously put money behind and gamble the future of its current standing in the business behind a 2D Mario on a HD platform. You know what I mean?
Right, but when you look back, like, at the sales trends, like, New Super Mario Bros. Wii outsold the Galaxy games by like 2-1.
Yeah,
which is insane because it's a good game, but. And I love 2D Mario. I love 2D platformers, but I'll take Galaxy over any day.
Right,
you know, like
right.
It's ridiculous.
But was some of that also, you know, people had a Wii, like they bought into the Wii Sports machine, and then Nintendo.
Oh, there's a Mario Bros.
Right, and it wasn't Mario, this 3D thing. It was Mario as you remember him, like as they played originally. So. I'm wondering if some of that also kind of bought into, you know, helped them sell that many units of that game.
There's that, and I think, like, with little kids, that honestly, like, a 2D Mario is probably more approachable. You know,
well,
it's left or right.
I think Nintendo was smart in using mass media to kind of sell this hype machine for the Wii.
Right.
And then when they thought they could get it, tap into it again, people were turning them away. And they're like, we kind of want to see what this gorgeous PlayStation 4 looks like. Because it is a gorgeous-looking console. You can't argue that it's a fucking gorgeous design for that damn thing. It's like just sitting on your desk is kind of stunning, right? And you put a Wii next to it, and it's like you can't compare them just visually. And that's all what mass media likes to do is they want to sell something slick and sexy, right? They couldn't tap into that, dude. And to me, it's like a fascinating thing. Like I tease Jeff, and I've gone on. I think I was on your show when I was saying, "Dude, it's going down like the Dreamcast," you know?
Yeah, you did say that, and so far I would say you're pretty much right. But
yeah, it's doing it. It's doing it with better. It's holding its ground better than I expected it at this point. I thought it was going to be a lot more. I actually thought the numbers were going to be worse over the holidays, but I guess I underestimated the Wind Waker HD, you know.
I mean, they're
picked it up a little bit.
Let's not pull punches here. Those numbers are still pretty awful, in the fact that the Xbox One and PS4 both outsold the Wii last year, and they did it in a 5 and 6 week period.
No, I completely agree. But just to give you my expectations for the Wii U. That's how little I had for it. You know? And, like, I was ready to be, like telling poor Jeff by, you know, Valentine's, it's going to be okay, buddy. You always have your 3DS. You know? I thought it was going to be that bad. But they seem to be hanging on to, like, and for the long run, at least this year, that's being the long run into a year, because I can't see them holding on to the Wii U into next year
if it's
still doing these numbers.
That's the question. Like, if they only sell another 3.5 million over the next 12 months, like, are we talking E3 2015? They're going, and here is the super, super duper Nintendo, like a new console that kind
I think,
of like is that's on already par with in Xbox the works. One PS4.
That's already in the works. I think the only way they're going to keep their investors, the really like heavy investors, is they already told them that we're working on something, and they're not going to show it at E3 this year, but they're going to be ready to do it next year, regardless. And this thing's going to have nothing associated with the Wii brand at all. It's going to be completely different. If they come back and they stick to like the motion controls being a core thing, hats off to them being stubborn fucks, because third party wants nothing to do with their gimmicky control schemes. It's pretty fucking evident, you know. And I think they need to please the third party this time around. They can't hang on their own anymore, and they have to be realistic about it. And I think their investors would not expect them to continue down this path, you know. And unfortunately, when you have public options like that, there's a responsibility to kind of secure a profit of some kind by changing your business tactics.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I don't think it's in them, honestly, though, to change too much. Like, they're always going to be a family-friendly company.
I think you can always be a family-friendly company, but there's a compromise. You can be innovative in other ways, and they have the best game designers in the fucking business still, you know?
Yeah.
And I think just give them a little bit more toys, man, and they can come up with some shit that just fucking blows everyone out of the water and challenges what Sony and Microsoft are doing, you know?
I would hope so. But at the same time, I think we're jumping the gun a little bit, because I seem to remember everyone writing off the 3DS in its first year. And
yeah, but now we're now...
It's a little over a year.
Yeah. I mean,
dude, we're talking... Dude, the 3DS never had the competition their console has, bro. That's the difference.
Exactly.
And they had a competition in a more powerful console that it was also a handheld.
What? Dude, handheld... Look, let's be honest here. Let's be real. Let's not pull punches here. I'm not a fanboy or anything, but when it comes to a handheld, it's a Nintendo handheld you go first. Everyone else is fucking second choice. Let's be honest. The people that can own a Vita and a 3DS at the same time are like the super fucking like enthusiasts like us, right? Or a few of us, right? The casual consumer is like, they want to get their kid to shut the fuck up on a road trip. They go straight to a fucking Nintendo account, like handheld.
Market is a little bit different too, because they're almost always straight exclusives. You know, you have this or you have that.
Yeah.
With, Xbox and Wii U, you have this third party huge market where, again, Nintendo's not seen it as much as they used to. So to compare those two, it is kind of a different story because, again, Nintendo was able to knock it out of the park this past year with the 3DS, but there are concerns.
They weren't able to hit their
target. No, it's not. This isn't
that.
The standard. This isn't, let's just be realistic, this isn't Nintendo that we knew
right.
and we grew up loving, okay? This is, I don't know what their end game is here. It is pretty scary. They've kind of accepted this role where I remember them back in the N64 days where they were fucking, they were always putting out mature games. I mean, Doom 64. I remember when the GameCube had BMX XXX and it was the only one to have fucking nude strip clubs or whatever they had. Like, Nintendo used to be the fucking mature like this, but now they've, ever since the Wii came out, they've catered to the families, and then they hit on it, and like you guys have been saying, the Oprah market is there, and they fucking ate it up. And then Nintendo's like, well, fuck it. This is great. Why not just fucking stop here? But, again, maybe they need to jump back into that competitive market and say, hey, we're still a player in here. We're not going to just fucking just stay idly aside and just play these fucking kid games, because obviously it's not working. I'm sorry, but the first-party games can only take them so far.
Yeah, and the clout behind that is... Like Mario proves, man, right now there isn't much of a value proposition behind the first party right now in their console, and it's fucking terrifying, you know. Because I personally always fuck around saying I wish to stop making consoles and just make games, you know, across the board. Just because I find they have so much talent, and if you give them like access to like these powerful systems, I can't even imagine what they could come up with. You know what I mean? But that's not realistic, because Nintendo is like too stubborn and too big and too proud, their mission statement for this console does not appeal to the mass market out there.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not marketable now, maybe. That's not their mindset, but 20, 30 years, let's fucking talk about it again, because it might not be their choice, but yeah, they're going to have to, maybe they are going to have to go that third party route, because again, like, yeah, they've got a huge stash of money that they still got saved up from all their successful years, but I mean, how many more years can they have of this mediocrity before they're like, well, and shit.
Honestly, the money they're sitting on, dude, it just doesn't have the same kind of push anymore. Every year it gets more expensive. Every year marketing gets more expensive.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Look what Facebook introduced recently with the news feeds for pages and stuff and brands. They basically took away your entire fucking audience and they're like, hey, you want it back? Pay us for it. You know, and that's money you weren't planning on selling anymore. You're looking at companies like Nike that spent like 3 years ago, they're spending, you know, like $500,000 on social promotion. And now this year, people are speculating they're getting ready to spend upwards of $8 to $10 million on social promotion. You know, and that's the market, dude. It's switching, and like that money, dude, you can't count on that money would disappear on you in a heartbeat, man. 6 months with it trying to keep like a dead product in the market will drain your profits.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Jeff is storming out.
It's hard to hear the truth from time. And
is there any hope for the Wii U? Like, is there any way to turn this round, like,
unless E3 all of a sudden EA, Ubisoft, and all the other third parties are like, fuck yeah, we're behind these guys big time, as you know, after they cash the check, I honestly don't think so, bro. I don't think Mario Kart and Smash Brothers are gonna be the godsend for this thing. Even announcements of like a Zelda next year, I think people are like past it. It's like, yeah, whatever. You guys are so predictable. I'm done. I'm gonna go enjoy my PlayStation Xbox experience.
I mean,
you know?
Like, I've heard some drastic, kind of theories on the way to kind of like maybe turn around, like decouple the gamepad from it. But at that point, then what is it? What is right. The Wii U without the gamepad?
It's overpowered. Yeah.
Like, it's an Xbox 360 PS3. Like, without a controller.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, at this point, you know, I mean, that is the thing, though, is Nintendo always does have those amazing franchises behind it, but, I mean, I've been so disappointed by, like, just every E3, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, like, when they first came out with the Wii U, I'm like, all right, this is Nintendo's year. Then the next year, I'm like, all right, they've had it for a year now. Like, let's see what they've got going on. Like, it's just, it's, as you say, predictable. It's just, it doesn't feel like they're taking any risk whatsoever.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be fair, Xbox and Sony, or Microsoft and Sony haven't really either. I mean, they kind of do play to their audience as well, but Nintendo's kind of like, it's not, Nintendo's on the other side of the spectrum now. Like, they can't play it. They need to be like Microsoft back in the Xbox days. They need to, you know, kind of come out fucking charging, like, this is the console you want this generation.
Yeah, the difference between Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo is that Sony and Microsoft's customers are still buying their stuff.
Right.
Like, they don't have to change, they don't have to make drastic changes that much. They're still selling product. And they're obviously still on point, where Nintendo just, they're like, come on, buy our stuff. And fans are going, we don't want your stuff.
I think I always, like, when I go to E3, I always get a good sense just by the kind of crowds are around the big booths, the big three booths. And this past E3, it was a lot of like, holy shit, these new consoles are legit. I'm excited. Oh my God. You know?
Right.
And it was a lot of like that nice, I feel like I'm fucking 12 years old again and waiting on Christmas Day to open my shit. Right? And people just, at the Nintendo booth, they're literally there in line playing in the mecca of Nintendo, saying like, it looks nice as HD, but, you know,
Right.
Just looking at the console, like, I don't know, man. I don't know. A lot of underwhelming. That was the first sign for me saying, like, oh, shit, they're in trouble. You know?
Yep.
When you, especially when you saw, like, the media queue to get, like, to get FaceTime with some of the reps for, like, Sony and Microsoft compared to the people waiting at Nintendo. Like, there's a lot of, like, Nintendo PR just standing around, man.
I wonder some of that, too. I mean, like, I'm not there talking to them, but from what I've heard from people that do talk to these, like, Sony at E3 and over the last year has come across as very personable and honest and just kind of opening up. Microsoft was coming across as crazy, so you wanted to talk to both of them. And Nintendo just comes off as staged. Like, yeah. Everything they say is rehearsed and very much like there's this very structured.
I can confirm that, and like, I don't care if I get in trouble, but like, the media training that Nintendo has is bar none better than anybody. You know?
Like, you'll never get something crazy coming out of their mouth. Like,
it's like talking to someone who plays for the Patriots.
Yeah, they're always afraid what their crazy uncle holding a shotgun's gonna do to them when they get back to the locker room, right? Hey, crazy uncle, I mean their coach, who's fucking insane. He's if Batman decided to be an NFL coach, that's who he'd be. But Nintendo PR does have it on lockdown. They control what information comes out at what time and what outlets and all that stuff. They're on top of their game in that sense. So it kind of makes them, you kind of almost like if there's no story, it makes it easy for you to walk away instead of like trying to deal with them and shit, you know?
Right.
It's their mechanism to build is not working in their favor right now, and they should take the opportunity to like rethink their entire strategy this year, honestly, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us here would really be happy if, you know, Nintendo did something get us excited for their stuff again.
Just look at what like Sony does, right? They take their consoles on a bus tour and they set up these fucking like mini like areas where food trucks come park and people eat and fucking play their console, right? They build that association, like good times and art in the console, right? Microsoft does the same shit. Anytime there's like a fucking South by Southwest or music festival, they're fucking there with a giant presence. Nintendo's going to mall tours, dude, and they're like setting up in front of like fucking like Bed Bath and Beyonds and shit, waiting for bombs to come look at their shit, you know?
Right.
That can't be helping them. It's not. It's like, yeah, it's become like the console like your parents play. Who the fuck wants to play that? Even though some are the parents here, you know what I mean? It's not.
Well, right. No, it's like their teenage kids aren't going to be like, oh, well, you know, mom and dad kind of like that. I want to play the other thing.
Yeah. Like, honestly, even you, like, you and Tony are, like, minority, like, parents who still play games. You guys are still fucking young as hell. You know what I mean? It's like, there's the demographics of like families that are playing games together are typically young. It's still very minor in comparison to like the general populace, where like just them sitting at a dinner table with their kids is like a miracle. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh well. I hope Jeff
anyway,
will be back at some point.
Is he gone?
He went to go smoke because he was done with the Nintendo sadness.
The motherfucker. The reason I came on was trying to make him cry.
That you did.
You did.
Yeah.
Achieved it. Congratulations.
Done your job, sir.
Way to go.
I'm a good friend.
Tony, you got any other news?
Next thing you know, you're going to be out there, Walter, doing something stupid like trademarking the word candy.
Oh my god.
Very nice. Very nice.
Did you hear the latest? Like, we're not trying to get the Sega people out of business.
Oh,
we're just trying to make sure we keep copycats
away. That statement is ridiculous. But then again, the funny thing about trademark law is if you don't challenge things that might go against your trademark, you will lose your trademark.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have enough money, and by God, the makers of Candy Crush Saga have plenty of money at this point, you should probably challenge this kind of stuff.
King, and I mean, I don't know what they're making now, but back last year, they were making $600,000 a day on Candy Crush.
Which is insane. And that the funny thing about this is that they are challenging trademarks of companies that don't make nearly that much money. So all of them are having to fold because they just don't have the money to mount the legal defense.
Right.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
Like, I almost can't blame him, but like, but instantly this story became like the big bad giant is shitting on those indie babies.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's absurd. I mean, you can't own the word candy.
Dude, I can.
Can't.
Evidently you can.
It's like, I don't know, man. Some companies see it like calling shotgun, you know? And when you're going on a road trip, I called it. Sorry, you're fucked. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it was just like the whole thing about scrolls with Bethesda before.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think the bigger issue is like the trademark law in this country is fucked.
It doesn't make any sense. It just is. It's not.
It's fucked.
Yeah.
It's always like us personally when in my company, when we're getting ready to launch a show, we usually have to delay shit because we're waiting on legal to get clearance for a title. You know?
Right.
And immediately when we launch something, there's some prick on the internet who creates a like blank.org who's trying to just fucking make us buy it from them. You know?
Squatters.
Jeez. Yeah, dude. I mean, there's a business in that. It's pretty bad though. It's kind of like creating a GameStop and then someone creates like a sushi stop and a tire stop and you know?
Right.
Just to see if you buy it from them so they can, you know, not wash down their intellectual property.
I did see a movie stop.
Dude, I've seen sushi stop. I have seen a tire stop. Like in the same font. Like,
No, it's exactly the same. Like,
yeah.
Same logo, everything.
Yeah. I saw a Korean stop and it was just like a Korean barbecue joint. In that font, and I was like, "Wow, that's ballsy."
I saw a burger place that has the same font, and same coloring. I forgot the name of them. I want to say Smash Burgers. I don't know, but it's like black
burger
red,
stop.
White.
Yeah, dude.
It doesn't say burger stop. It's like awesome black and white though.
Yeah. Burger stop font. Is probably like, copywritten by someone else.
Yeah,
I feel like I've heard that before.
Yeah, dude.
But if you were two blocks away from the sign, you would think it was a GameStop, and then you'd probably be like, what? It's a burger place?
Yeah, and then you'd be like, fuck it, I'm gonna get a burger.
Guess I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'm gonna trade that shit in later. I wonder what the used burgers go for. Hey, Jeff, why'd you run away when I was shitting on Nintendo, bro?
I was sad.
Weeping.
A little tear came in my eye.
It's just a little one.
Just a single tear. It was just like welling up there.
Yeah.
It was all true.
You gotta be careful. It's colder where you are. It might freeze up there.
Jesus. Seriously. Oh, God. At least I didn't get the snow that the East Coast got hit with.
Oh, God. I've been out of work since... Well, we had Monday off. Tuesday was a snow day. School was still closed today, so I was home again today. So I'm finally going to work tomorrow, I hope.
Oh, that's
dude,
nice.
I don't understand what happened this year, because usually, like, this time of the year, it's rainy and cold, and it's been perfect, 70 degrees, sunny, and it's like...
I hate you.
It's right? The oddest thing, because I know we're going to get fucked. I think the summer's going to be horrible, or something's going to happen. It's always like a balance, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it won't be fucking negative fucking anything degrees in the summer, so you can't complain.
Yeah.
My opinion. Oh, I hate the fucking cold.
Yeah, bro.
But yet you live in Chicago.
I know. That's just fucking rough up there.
This is the worst I've seen in forever, man. Like,
dude, you're Jeff has been tweeting like the temperature on his Twitter account. And
it's
just
always
reading,
unreal, dude.
And just reading that shit, I get shrinkage just by looking at it. How fucking cold it is. You know?
High of -4 on Monday. -4? Where the fuck do I live?
Dude, I'm waking up to like 60 degrees and I'm still getting my I still leave the timer on for my heated floors and shit, cause I'm like, ooh, I need to be toasty. You know?
Jeff's like, I need heat at all. Like, just give me any sort of heat.
If I was in that kind of climate, dude, they would have found me dead already, dude.
You wouldn't like it, I'll tell you that. Like, I've lived in it my whole life, and I can't stand it.
Yeah, fuck that, dude.
Is there any other news?
I don't know how Fozzie's doing in Seattle, but being in Florida for so damn long.
All right. I got over it.
I got a Snuggie.
Seattle's not that bad.
I love my goddamn Snuggie. Yeah, no, Seattle doesn't get too bad. Like, yeah, there's a couple, like, fuck, it's cold. But for the most part, it stays in the 40s, so I can deal with that.
You ever bust out long johns?
No. Well, maybe only, like, once or twice from, like, when it was snowing, like, pretty hard, though. Then again, pretty hard for you. Probably, like, nothing.
You get, like, a dusting.
Yeah, that's hardcore.
Any other news, Tony?
One last piece of news. The developer of a game called The Castle Doctrine is spitting in the face of the market economy. His name is Jason Rohrer, and he believes that the sales culture that has been created by things like Steam is bad for actual fans of games. So he has come up with a new policy where his games will be at their lowest possible price when they're in alpha, so like basically the early access that you would see on Steam. Then when the game actually launches,
price increase.
The price will increase. And then a week after that, the game will increase finally to one final full price, and it will never ever go on sale ever again.
Wow.
I can't tell you how stupid I think that this is. Where you would have a game when it is at its most desirable be priced at the lowest amount, and then over time as it becomes less desirable, you would increase the price. It's like the opposite of way the...
As you were describing that, I'm picturing like a really horrible relationship where you have amazing sex at the beginning and then it stops.
This is basically the dumbest possible way to price your product. So if you have a chance to work with this guy, you should pass.
Okay. I understand his frustration maybe with, but this seems like a weird way to counteract that. Like, he's pretty much
insured
by
destroying your company.
Right. Brad, like,
well, what platform is this for?
Well, he's releasing a game called The Castle Doctrine, and it's a PC game.
I almost don't blame him, because, like, the Steam structure of, like, when you put a game on sale and it sells so much, Steam still guarantees their profit based on the little tiny, like $2 they sold the game for. You know? Right. So I kind of, like, I know a lot of them are frustrated because they're like, this is the only avenue we have to get people to see our fucking game, because you can't sell anything independently anymore on the PC platform. It just doesn't fucking go anywhere, right? So I kind of understand, but it's still, it just sounds like it's like, dude, it's like counterproductive the way you're doing, man.
Right, there has
to be
another way.
And as the game is, like, becoming more and more pirated, easier to torrent and that kind of thing, yeah. Like, oh, my price is going to go up. So, now no one is going to buy your game. Like, a lot of people who buy games on Steam still are ones who pirate the game. Like, oh, I should probably buy the real version. You're not going to get any of those people because your game's never going to go on sale.
Or you get people like me who are like, that seems cool, but I'm not going to buy it at, like, $25, $30 because I don't know if I'm going to like it.
Yeah.
So I'll buy it at the discount on Steam, you know, maybe a year down the line. And then if I like it and you make another one, maybe I'm on board for that one.
Right. Yeah. But now you squeezed all those people out. Like, people right. who would become fans, which, I mean, he's dedicated this policy to helping his fans, won't become fans because they'll never experience your product.
Right, because I'm probably not going to pay for something early access unless I'm, like, really interested in it. And, you know, if you're going to raise your game... the price of your game over time, like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
But then again, people bought that fucking app that was like $100,000 just for an app.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm sure there's people out there that will do it.
But. Oh yeah, there are people who will buy this guy's products too, but not as many as before.
Yeah, that's true, man.
Oh well. Alright, Jeff, we got any questions?
Yeah, I got a couple. I have one from Twitter, from Justin. Can you justify the $60 price tag for Tomb Raider Definitive Edition?
No. Go ahead, Fozzie.
No.
No. If you didn't play on a PC and you only played the standard one and you want a great title for your next gen console, yes. Because it is a great fucking title. It's the best Lara Croft game ever, and it does look like really, really fucking impressive in full motion in front of you.
It was worth $60 when I bought it a year ago.
I put a lot of ifs in front of everything what I said before I said yes.
I think Walter's kind of right in this. Like, if I hadn't played it, maybe it's worth $60 to me, but.
Especially when you have a console that's just kind of sitting there with just Battlefield and, like, NBA.
Come on, you know? FIFA's coming. FIFA's coming.
Sure.
Tomb Raider's better.
The game is great. I want to spend more time with Tomb Raider, you know?
I don't know. I have enough games to play on my Xbox One.
Play Assassin's Creed again.
Yeah, I would say, though.
I haven't finished Assassin's Creed. I haven't finished Dead Rising, so.
You guys should replay Tomb Raider anyways.
I'm gonna get it again. I'm gonna get it for the Definitive Edition.
I probably would too.
Which console are you playing on, Walter?
Probably Xbox One.
Yes.
Yeah, cause, oh, just cause, like.
Achievements.
Well, yeah, trophies and achievements both do the same thing for me, right? But it's, I don't know, I kinda feel like, cause Assassin's Creed didn't do anything for me this time around. I think I'm kind of burnt out on the franchise, to be honest. I need to take a break for a while, and come back to it. And I just kind of need a reason to keep turning it on, because right now Call of Duty is the only thing that's doing it for me on Xbox One. You know what I mean?
Battlefield 4 has some legs now. It didn't before, but it does now.
Yeah, that's what people tell me.
Well, it works now.
Yeah, that's a leg up.
Yeah, but it still runs better on the PS4 than Xbox One.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, that's a fact.
Yeah, you know? I didn't.
So I saw no problems with it last night, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm glad it's working. It's a great game. I don't want to shit on anyone's, like, you know, game.
It looked pretty. I prefer the Xbox controller for shooters.
Yeah. Well, it's all a matter of opinion, right? Yeah. I mean, it's whatever console you fucking have, you should be happy with.
Right. Know?
So, but that just personally, like, cause I got both. I'm trying to see which one of the two I want to keep a reason to keep turning on. And the PlayStation Plus program always gives me more than enough reason to turn on my Sony platforms, you know? So.
Sure, I guess. I mean, my problem is I've already played the games that they're offering.
I think that's great for me who, like, for the last 6 months,
right,
I've been kind of, like, homeless, kind of, sort of.
Right, so you have been playing stuff, so.
Yeah, so now it's, like, all these stuff, like, and then, like, I played BioShock Infinite on the Xbox, and now it's, like, free on the PlayStation Plus, so I have a reason to go back and play, right?
Right. I guess, if you want to play it again.
I do. I like the world it presented. It's not a perfect game by any chance, but it's, I like the world. No. And I kind of like the themes they're kind of like touched on.
I hit download on it and then canceled it so that I have it in case I ever want to go back to it.
That's the smartest thing anyone, I always tell people do that. Why? It's like, even the time shit, they'll never take it away from you.
Right.
It's just always there in your queue. You can always download it.
Yep.
Especially for the Vita and shit. Just keep the entire fucking life, whatever they put for free, just get it.
Yeah, I always just hit download and like then canceled. Like, if I want to get it later, it's there.
Yeah. Like, when I was, like, shopping for apartments, I didn't have consoles. I just had my Vita and 3DS. And I was in Starbucks and shit looking at, like, apartment listings, like, downloading different games, you know? It was perfect.
So, there you go, Justin. There's some justification,
I guess. It's no, and yes. if you fit under all these ifs.
Right.
Right.
If you've been homeless for the last 6 months.
Last 6 months and you finally got a place in internet, go for it.
Jeff, what else we got?
I got a couple for Mr. Too Fresh. How many annualized games do you buy a year?
Oh.
That's hard to answer.
All of them.
Let's see. Assassin's Creed.
I think Call of Duty's been the only one I've actually bought the last 3 years. I don't know why I just admitted that. But, yeah.
Does Battlefield count as annualized yet?
It totally is.
Alright, so that's two.
Anything else? Madden. You buy NBA, right?
Madden and NBA.
Yeah.
I actually took a break from Madden and came back this year, and I'm glad I came back this year. It's such a great Madden.
Yeah, this year was pretty good. I have to say, though, the thing that's killed me on this question is the review copies that I get of these games now. Like, does it count as bought if I requested a review copy and they sent it to me?
Were you going to buy it anyway?
Because that means you're interested, right?
That's true. True.
Yeah, you were probably going to buy Assassin's Creed.
I was probably going to buy Assassin's... Well, I did buy Assassin's Creed. I was probably going to buy Madden.
Right. Call of Duty. I guess Battlefield, if we're counting that as annualized. Assassin's Creed. Right. What else is annualized? Like
Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, no.
There aren't actually that many annualized franchises, I think, when you start. There's a lot of sports games.
Mario.
There's a couple shooters. Mario count as annualized?
I mean, there's a Mario game every year.
It's quarterly, isn't it?
Right, it's a quarterly franchise.
Whenever the quarter's going to shit, they're like, all right, got another Mario lined up. Let's do it.
It's the year of Luigi, just remember that. That's what's wrong.
They finally gave him a year. Look at all the shit that goes bad.
I think I've decided for sports games, so I'm going to alternate like Fozzie does.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
But then how do you know which features are new?
But see, that's the thing. Like, I actually enjoyed, I enjoyed Madden this year because I hadn't played it in a few years. Like, it didn't feel the same to me because I came in and there was new shit in it.
Yeah.
Maybe I think I need that break.
Yeah, and here's the thing is that, like, I remember when... I swear to God, I feel like Madden's done it a couple times where they'll discontinue feature for a few years, and then they'll come back with it again.
Right.
As long as they bring back that horrible fucking quarterback.
Oh,
the vision cone.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was bullshit, bad. Dude. That was so bad.
The worst Madden I have ever played.
Especially for, like, someone who's a Dolphin fan and has to deal with, like, a quarterback. It's not Dan Marino. It's the biggest fucking bullshit.
So there's basically just, like, a line, like a pencil drawing line. Yeah. Like, the vision of the quarterback.
It's too bad you don't have Super Bowl-bound Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, the people who don't follow Fozzie on Twitter during the NFL is the greatest fucking thing. It's every other, like, weekend. Super Bowl bound Jags.
Here they come. Yep. They were on a nice little winning streak at the end, so everyone better watch out for next year. They're coming back.
Yeah. I mean, they're both. They love to go like 0-5 before they go on that fucking Super Bowl fucking run.
They count their winning streaks as against the spread, right? They don't actually have to win the games.
Well, here's the thing: is like Jags love to do that, so they'll never get like the number one spot, like the number one pick. And they won't ever pick up like a superstar like Luck or something like that.
Yeah.
They'll always just tread like a little bit below average. So it's just a consistent 5 and 11 seasons for the rest of my life. It's going to be beautiful. I like to do it every year though. Like usually I do that for NCAA and Madden. I don't think I picked up either of those games though this year.
Well, you're not going to be able to buy NCAA anymore, so
right,
you get saved from that.
Yeah, thank God. I'll probably buy Madden next year, and then I guess my one sport game this year was NBA, and I'll probably buy FIFA next year too. Yeah. And there's always a couple games like, but I never like to do it like annually.
I'll buy NHL next year, and then I'll buy.
I feel dirty.
What's great about all these sports games you guys are talking about? They're being built for next gen from the ground up this time.
Yeah.
So they're gonna feel brand new, you know?
I mean, NBA looks fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Really looks good, like the facial animations and. But yeah, they just need to build on that.
Although, who is it? Though. Who's the is it Michelle Tafoya, the sideline reporter? She looks alien and freaky.
Oh yeah, the one that does like the interviews.
Yeah.
They all have this really weird face. Like I don't know. And there's definitely like it needs to be improved on. But again, I'm not gonna hate them for their first like rendition of a next gen title.
Has your player been interviewed in one of those yet? Mine has not.
Because they won't, because there they like showcase that real voice.
Yeah.
So I don't think you ever will probably get interviewed by them.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I do like that my player is now included in the pregame promos.
Yeah, mine is too. Mine is fucking like, I've been doing really good. I'm averaging a lot of points a game now, so.
Wow. Jeff, what else we got?
2D or 3 me- sorry. 2D or 3D Mario games?
2D.
No. Handheld ones. Yeah, 2D.
No. I go what? 3D.
2D. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'll go 2D.
Whatever doesn't require me to wave my hands like a fucking asshole.
2D Zelda games.
That's such a good Zelda game.
You want 2D?
Yeah,
one 2D
and 2D Zelda as well.
Did you guys catch like the outrage and craziness around like GameSpot giving
it was game nuts. Of the year? I was reading those comments. It was crazy.
Oh my god, dude! You know it's weird because all the people who are like, "Oh, this is ballsy! Holy shit! I've never seen a handheld win this." And other people are like, "How can a handheld that's not powerful and so cheap win this thing?" You know.
Right, like let's totally...
Obviously people who have never played it as well.
Right, it's like, let's totally, you know, throw away the great qualities of this game and what makes it great and just, like, focus on the fact that it's on a handheld. Like, it's a great game no matter how you look at it. Like,
I was thinking back and did a little bit of research. I think this is the first time, like, a site like this gave a handheld the game of the year.
It's so good.
I can't recall any other, like, time it happened. Anyway, I'm not promoting my fucking site by any chance here, guys. I just brought it up because I thought it. I just brought it up because I thought it was funny. Like watching that Fallout, I was like, "Wow." Yeah.
Well, it was just like I sat there for like an hour just reading the new comments come in. It was just crazy fanboy rage. Like
it really was
between Sony fans like just yelling about how The Last of Us should have won, GTA fans yelling about how like GTA 5 should have won.
Like I've gone on a record and I've said this as much. My favorite part of The Last of Us did not happen when I had control of the fucking game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the combat is just kind of like a bare bones fucking, like what they're trying to do with fucking Uncharted, and I'm not a big fan of the Uncharted combat system. You know?
Suck it, Jeff.
Whatever. Tomb Raider's better than Uncharted. And...
It's better than The Last of Us 2.
Oh,
I think Last of Us is a little different.
When I finished that game, it was much like Book 3 of Game of Thrones. I was just running around to see who else had finished this so I can fucking talk about it. And there aren't many fucking games that make me do that anymore. You know, I don't finish a Batman and like, oh my god, did you finish me? Did you finish it? Did you see this? How'd you feel about that? You know,
right.
I haven't. So that for me was like super rare and special, but when you kind of like step back and you kind of look at the field, it's like, okay, this isn't really necessarily the game of the year, you know?
Well, like, as a game, it's not, like, it does some great things story-wise and should definitely be celebrated for it, but for me, I just didn't like the game aspect of it.
Yeah, but I think for the platform itself, I think it definitely deserved all the call-outs it got for like PlayStation Game of the Year, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, overall game of the year, I think the field was stacked against it.
unless you're on a certain site that begins with an I and ends with an N.
Oh, my last employer?
Oh, yes. Then.
Oh, boy.
That site doesn't exist, does it? I thought they went under.
We can film another podcast where I just shit on them if you want. I mean.
We don't want to get into that. I don't want you to burn any bridges that you might still have up. So.
Nah, I don't care about that shit anymore.
Anything else, Jeff, or is that it?
There is one more. Is there any store that you hate going to but still go because it's convenient?
Other than GameStop?
Yeah.
He mentioned GameStop and Walmart, which is
like, does it have to be a store? Can it be like a fast food place? Because Taco Bell, I hate myself when I stop at Taco Bell.
And then when
I'm sitting on the toilet, I'm like, seriously, what am I doing in my life?
Doing everything.
Usually it's like 2 bites into a Taco Bell meal. I'm like, why did I do this to myself?
Well, the only thing that never disappoints me at Taco Bell is the nacho and cheese thing that they sell. That's the only thing that never disappoints me.
Like the basic nachos.
The basic nachos and the basic cheese. They never fuck it up.
But really, like, what are you disappointed in? Because you know it's going to be awful when you go there, so.
Because you just like, I really want to spend money. Fuck it, I'll go do like $5 and get
You could buy enough food to feed Africa at Taco Bell.
But then you're like, you eat it, and then like I did this when I first got here, like with my buddy, I was staying with my buddies in San Mateo, and there's a Taco Bell literally across the fucking street, right?
Oh, that's bad.
So, yeah, I didn't have a car, and San Mateo spread out more than San Francisco, and I didn't feel like walking 20 minutes to get food, like proper food.
So you'd walk there a lot.
So I would just go there and spend $10, and then, like, there's food for lunch, and then, like, I don't want to go out again because I've been on a shitter all day. I'm going to eat the rest of that Taco Bell now.
I could see. That's a recipe for self-hate.
Yes, dude. So now, like, every time I walk into a Taco Bell, even if it's, like, a KFC Taco Bell combo, I just hate myself.
Ooh,
that's the thing. Like, KFC is the one that I hate when I eat it. It's like, I don't think this is real chicken.
Yeah, I feel the same way about KFC.
Oh, Lord. Have you guys had that boneless KFC? The boneless breast. What the fuck am I thinking of?
The wings? Yeah, yeah.
No, the boneless thing, like, it's so gnarly. It's, like, all fucking fatter,
which
is good.
Right now.
But, man, like, there's, like, no chicken whatsoever.
It's literally just crust.
The crust is good, but, like, you need that, you need to have the
chicken
ratio.
The chicken holds it together, right?
It's like the cement.
Like, I'll take all crust, sir. No need for that chicken. Oh, God. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. It's not. I don't have an actual store. Like, I hate myself. Like, luckily, I don't shop at Hot Topics or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Hot Topic.
H&M, maybe, just because you walk in, and I'm like, oh, God, am I hipster now? But...
Yes. Yes, you are.
The clothes is so cheap, though, man.
Yes.
What's wrong with their shit?
Speaking of, like, hipsters, I went into an Abercrombie & Fitch at Christmas time.
Wow.
And one, like, I swear to God, they spray, like, their cologne or whatever through the vents. Like, I think you need a gas mask to, like, walk in there and breathe.
Wow.
And nothing in there fits me, so.
Yeah, I mean, some of these stores are, like, even me, I'm like, I'm a pretty like slim dude, and some of the stuff is kind of like, wow, dude, I really don't want people to see my junk through these jeans.
Right.
I'm not that type of person. Like, I'm proud of, you know, my manhood, but I don't know if I want to put it out in front of people's faces like that on a daily basis.
You just get some body paint and be just as good.
Right. Exactly. It's weird. Anyway, yeah. So, I don't mind Walmart. I like Walmart. It's a great social experiment every time you go to Walmart.
Yeah, that's the part I don't like about Walmart.
The social experiment part?
Yeah, the prices and, you know, like, the wide selection, those are the good parts. But, man.
Dude, I used to visit those places like Walmart in, like, Florida, and, dude, oh, my God. The experiences.
That's where all the pictures come from, isn't it? Like.
Florida.
You check those, like, there's like that site, like walmartshoppers.com or whatever.
Walmart.
It's like, yeah, that's it.
Dude, that's, it's something else, but I don't hate myself for going there. I mean, you gotta save money any way you can, right?
I think they're, like, a great deal, but it's just that whole part of it. Oh my god, man.
I think GameStop's probably mine.
Only cause I stopped going there.
It's only cause, like, the convenience of being able to, like, if I wanted to trade something in.
It's like the one game store I can get to really easily.
Right. And you know what? Like, I went to, like, the local game store near here, like, the independent one. It's a shit show in there, man. Like, it's like, this is like a bad comic book shop. I don't want to buy anything from you people. You creep me out, and I swear to God, you're dealing drugs out of the back probably right now.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I think that's why Comixology, the app, saved my ass.
So
that's why I still read comics, because, like, walking in a comic book store, I always be like, dude, I gotta grow up. It's gotta happen.
Right?
I can't continue down this direction.
It's like I walk in and I feel like I should be arrested just for, like, being in there because I'm some sort of perv. Like,
yeah.
I shouldn't be in this store. And why are there, like, statues of half-naked women everywhere?
Yeah, dude. That's always a weird fucking thing for me, too.
it's like walking into a porn shop, but they don't sell porn. They sell art.
So sure.
Not art.
Those are the same thing. Come on.
Except it has that same weird, like, you kind of feel ashamed while you're in there.
Yeah,
not there's any reason to go into a porn shop anymore. Like that stuff stopped with broadband. So
I don't know. There's couples out there that like to do like the whole like, you know, let's buy a first dildo together kind of deal.
Yeah, I guess. We used to have a lot in the area around here, and they're all.
I was gonna say you what.
We used to have a lot of porn shops. There was a lot.
I was like,
lot.
Who's we? Who we are you referring to? You and your wife? You have a lot of what?
No,
Chris and Jeff, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, me and Jeff. No, just in the area here. We as in this locale. Still an inordinate amount of strip clubs.
There's a lot of like porn shops in San Francisco. I know a lot of it isn't advertised because Full House didn't document it. But they have such like catching little marquees as jerk off, but not in the store, and stuff like that, right? And you walk around, and they kind of blend into all even like the little small cafes because everything here has a little bit of space to kind of like live in,
right?
So it's the oddest thing. You could be in a little cafe just doing your thing, and like, wait a minute, I'm right next door to the porn shop. That's kind of weird.
It's a little weird.
Yeah, it's not isolated. Like, you know, it's like some states make you stay like you're certain miles away from a school,
right?
Or a church, or you know, yeah. Over here, I don't think they have those kind of regulations.
Yeah, normally there's like a zoning or something for that. But...
Yeah, so I'm basically saying, Jeff, if you want to get a cup of coffee and like porn, you should go to San Francisco.
I could go right to my laptop. Fuck all that.
You can't get coffee out of your laptop.
Close enough.
But
I have coffee next to my laptop.
He can get beer out of his fridge.
True.
Who needs coffee when you have beer?
Is that it, Jeff?
No, that's it.
That's it. All right. Fozzie, you got any questions or no?
No.
All right. We'll be back next week then. I don't know. It's been really dead in terms of anything new going on. So,
I have one thing I do have to bring up though.
Yeah.
It's been proven in a blind taste test.
Oh boy.
Fruit Loops, are all the same flavor no matter which color they are.
What the fuck?
I thought you were gonna say that.
No,
catch up.
I know.
They did the same test with Trix and Fruity Pebbles, and it's true of those cereals as well.
The purple one tastes different. I'm sorry.
They're all the same. Good. It's just dyed a different color.
Can I admit that I no longer buy like sugary cereals anymore? I'm at that age.
You don't like them anymore?
At the age of knowing.
Yeah.
Viagra.
You've grown up.
It sucks. I hate it.
I will never. I feel healthy just eating cereal. There's like vitamins and shit in it.
You got it. Vitamins and shit. That's what they put on cereal boxes.
Mostly shit, but.
Mostly shit. That's the Taco Bell unofficial slogan. Mostly shit.
Mostly shit. That's 100% true. We'll be back next week. I don't know what we're talking about, because there's really nothing new until like February. But
more NBA 2K14.
Yeah,
that's strategy games we can talk about.
Oh boy.
Jeff is very excited about that.
There's a very promising Kickstarter that went live today. You can probably talk about next week.
Okay.
Are you talking about that Kingdoms one?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I saw that.
Somebody will have to.
I did that for the Double Fine one, and I still haven't played that. It's out.
That's right. Out, right?
Or, yeah.
It's original Sin, so we can talk about that.
All right. And that Kickstarter you're talking about doesn't come out till December of 2015. That's crazy. Anyways.
Yeah, that's what kind of has me sketchy on putting money down on Star Citizen.
Mm.
It's still like a year and a half off.
I know. That's
scary. It dropped to $37 million.
That's crazy.
I know. They don't need my money either, but. Right. But I want to buy a ship! Want a ship, goddammit!
What the hell is that?
I want a spaceship!
It's the scariest thing I ever heard.
Alright. Say goodbye, Fozzie.
Goodbye, Fozzie.